Welcome to episode 2 of Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Hey there, it's Vicky here, and thank you so much for tuning in to the second episode of my podcast, Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. In this episode, we're going to talk about one of the things that most small business owners who I'm starting out working with, who might be quite new to the concept of doing marketing, might have just recently launched their business, often ask me, and that is, do I need a digital marketing strategy, Vicky? What's the point? I'm only new, I'm quite small, do I actually need a strategy? And I'm going to outline in this episode the positive benefits for small businesses to take the time to outline and plan and then implement a digital marketing strategy. It's not just for the big brands. It's not just for big business. It's just common sense, right? Because I've just seen too many small business owners avoid long-term planning, either because, you know, you say you haven't got the time or you don't want to go through the learning curve, and actually, or you don't have the budget, right, to spend on marketing. And that short-term reactive approach to marketing and sales seems much easier to take on, especially if you're wearing all the hats in your business, right? Especially if you're just starting out. You know, you're making the things, you're delivering the service, you've got customer service emails to answer, you've got your books to manage, you've got the tech to manage, your website to maintain. There's a lot going on, right? And then if you're trying to get your website and your business in front of more of your ideal customers, people who've never heard of you before, the thought of strategy and tactics and objectives might really put you off because it seems jargony and something that's not for you. And if that is you, you're listening to this, then you're really going to enjoy this episode because I'm going to talk about, like I said, the benefits of planning, the benefits of having a strategic approach to the ways that you drive more traffic to your website, the idea of embracing failing and embracing experimentation and not having to think that everything has to be perfect up front. By the end of this episode, I'm hoping that I can persuade you as a small business owner looking to drive more traffic to your website, sell more of your stuff online, and give you the benefits of why you should consider taking the time to sit and plan what you're going to do with your marketing and build that into the ongoing planning that you do for your business going forward. So, first things first, let's just talk about our preconceptions about marketing yourself online, right? Back when I used to work at agency, so I used to work for quite a big medium-sized digital marketing agency in London in the healthcare sector predominantly. I've worked for a couple of other agencies as well, but I spent the longest time crafting my skills and kind of honing how I dealt with clients and technical concepts and developers and designers there. And we used to say things to clients like, everyone's going digital. You need to keep up with the times, right? And a lot of the presentations that we would do with those clients were about persuading them to kind of start marketing using digital channels and not just run ads in magazines or, you know, create ads at events or radio ads, you know, all of that kind of old school approach to marketing. Actually, you can use channels and other jargony words and social, and you can actually see the return that you're getting on the effort that you're spending, because we can track things that you can't track with those old school methods. And you know, that persuasion to kind of get on board with digital is definitely something I've still found myself talking about with my own small business clients, as recent as maybe a year ago. But what with everything that's happened in 2020, and that realization that we can't always meet up in person, we can't go to a bricks and mortar store. Actually, it's more cost effective to deliver products and services, you know, via digital channels. I think that conversation about having to go online is a thing of the past, I would hope. I mean, you only have to see how online marketing has disrupted kind of big industries like the taxi cab industry, for example. You know, with the kind of rise of Uber and with Airbnb. And these are services that you would have thought could never have been optimized and improved with online technology, with digital technology, with how old school they seem. People get in taxis, they pay by cash, right? People book into hotels. That's the way things have always been done. But things change, people change. And if you are listening to this thinking, I'm not even sure why I've got a website or I don't have a website, then let's just kind of cover that first, right? Is you really need to get online and you really need to be marketing yourself online. That's why you're listening to this, right? Because you understand that you need to do something. You need to catch up with what's going on in the world. And hopefully you understand that it's more cost effective. You can see results. And actually, that's probably where your ideal customer's attention is. It's online. And so I just want to get that out of the way first. This is just really important to ensure that if you are doing any marketing, a big part of that, if not the majority, if not all of the efforts that you're putting to drive more traffic to your business is done through online marketing. Back in sort of the early 2010s, it was quite interesting looking at the landscape of online digital marketing tools. There were quite a few, but when you look at how many are available today, I mean, it's just vast. We were probably talking maybe a couple of hundred well-known tools back then, and now there's thousands and thousands. I mean, that should just tell you that the market has changed for the better over the past 10 years, and big businesses have moved online. They've understood that this is how people prefer to kind of consume their products and services. Like I was saying, with, you know, Airbnb and with Uber, and things that we didn't realize were more convenient until we were experiencing them, it's kind of changed the way we work and we work with the way we live, how we holiday, how we travel, so much. And technology has kept up with that. Technology has seen that, we're more likely to be online. We're more likely to pay attention on social channels than we ever were before. We're still opening emails. We're responding to ads online. You can take advantage of this as a small business, right? Beyond, you know, the basics, beyond just having a website, and maybe you've got a Facebook page, and maybe you put up a blog once a month, right? Like, there's so much more that you could be doing. And, you know, the kind of rise and rise with how many tools there are in the market that you could be using. I mean, I urge you to go and look up the MarTech 5000, which is kind of what I'm referring to. It just kind of shows that the vastness of the landscape in terms of ways that you can connect with your ideal customer online. There's so many channels, there's so many ways to track interactions, there's so many ways to get messages out to your ideal customer. And if you've just been showing up, like I said, putting the odd blog post out there, doing a couple of Facebook ads, then you're not as ahead as you think you are. And it's not a strategy, right? That's just being present. That's just rocking up and kind of putting a few posts up. If you was to actually take advantage of some of the tech that's out there, some of the tools that's out there, and kind of make a long-term plan that kind of reflects the challenges and changes that you can see in your market, you can get ahead of the competition. You can speak to your ideal customers. I mean, get this, right? And I'll put this link into the show notes, but in 2020, in this year, almost two-thirds of UK ad spend was online. And my question to you is, are you running ads? Are you actually paying for attention and paying for traffic? Not a lot of small businesses are. Not a lot of small businesses are. I think possibly because 10 years ago, we got seduced by social channels giving us business pages and kind of business profiles and attention, lots of views of our stuff for free for many years. You could have a Facebook page running, right, and have lots of people view that page and be able to do business from that page. And then Facebook reduced the visibility of business pages. Unless you paid for ads, lots of people went up in arms. They went up in arms as well with the change of the Instagram algorithm 2-3 years ago. It used to be chronological, and lots of people were winning with getting, you know, their posts in front of their audiences. And then Instagram came along and changed how that worked. It disrupted it overnight. Most likely because it wanted to kind of funnel users into thinking, like its users and its advertisers into kind of thinking about using, you know, their advertising tools. And rightly so, like they're platforms that have to make money. But are you thinking about those new ways to leverage the kind of audiences that social, the email, that search can give you? Right? Or are you just rocking up thinking, okay, I've got a post on my page. I'm not paying for advertising because that's too expensive. I'll sign up for this social channel and this social channel. And I've got to write blogs because I've got to be seen on search engine. And it gets overwhelming, like totally overwhelming. And a lot of my small business clients, when I first start working with them, are really burnt out by trying to do all of the things and wondering, you know, if it's all worth it. Because they try and do all the things, they don't actually do anything of kind of great quality, and then start to burn out and forget to post on certain channels, and then don't realize by neglecting, you know, some channels that they're really cutting off a line to reach their ideal customer. Or they bring their preconceptions about how they feel about certain marketing channels as well, which I always think is really fascinating. I hear this quite a lot, is some of my clients saying, no one uses Facebook anymore, Vicky. So why should I be on there? I mean, I'm pretty sure Facebook's 1 billion users plus users might disagree with that sentiment. Plenty of people are still on Facebook, but because you're not doesn't mean your ideal customer isn't. People think that ads are annoying. I don't want to put ads in front of my customers. I don't want them to think I'm annoying. But actually, we respond deeply to being advertised to all the time across all platforms. You know, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, whether it's online, we respond to it. That's why they work. So, you know, I always think that's quite funny. You know, and other ones I hear as well, it's like, no one opens email anymore. It's just not true. Every single person uses email. Everyone checks their email at least once a day. So, you know, if you can kind of get out your own way and then realize actually that, yes, there's lots of different channels out there, like dozens and dozens and dozens, hundreds, if you could find them. Of ways that you can reach your ideal customer online, but it's very unlikely that your ideal customer is in all of those places, right? So, you know, understanding exactly where your ideal customer lives online can certainly help you start formulating that plan, like that strategy for how you reach them in your mind, right? And with any good marketing strategy, the first step is to start with your customers. And if you haven't sold anything yet, is to start with the people that you would like to buy your products or services, right? So, you know, for me, the goal of any good digital marketing strategy is to ensure that you connect your business's value, like what you're offering, to the right customer base, to the right people, right? Basically, you find where your customers live online and you match your products or your services to them, right? And then once they know who you are, then you can start to build that trust with them. If you are reaching out to people online who will never buy from you because of the type of product or service that you offer, then it's going to waste your time, your effort, your energy, probably your money as well. So if you can invest that time first and foremost in thinking about your ideal customer, that's step one, right? And it helps if you can put yourself in their shoes, like develop a little personality for them. Like think about how they use the internet. And why and where their attention goes on a day-to-day basis. Like this really helps if you've sold to customers before, right? And you've got a record of them. You can have you've garnered like a rough idea of what they look like, where they live, you know, how much money they've got to spend. If you don't know this stuff, start asking them. And if you've never sold to anyone before, you could probably guess, like have an educated guess as to where they might live online based on their age, on their gender, where they live, the things that they're interested in. You know, case in point, if you're selling golf shirts, it's very likely that your ideal customer will visit websites online that talk about golf, right? If you're selling t-shirts to skaters, it's very likely that they're going to be on TikTok or Snapchat, like a young social media platform, as opposed to being on LinkedIn, right? And if you really don't understand this stuff, like definitely just get online and Google social networks, start to research them, sign up for accounts with them. And start to observe the people who, you know, use those platforms or who talk about those platforms. See what news talks about when they're talking about those particular platforms. And then you can start to get a rough idea of the channels that you use to reach your ideal customers. But if you are in a great position where you can ask them, you know, what made them buy from you, then you can, you know, start to get in a place where you let your customers guide your marketing efforts, right? You know, so once you know a bit about their average age, where they live, what they like to buy, who influences them to buy, when and how they buy, like, are you solving a need at a particular time? Have they got a specific problem that you're solving? You can start to work out where others like them live online, right? And if you know where they live online, where they like to spend their attention online, you can start to investigate how you can get in front of them by picking the right tools and platforms within your budget, right? So in the past, if your previous approach to marketing was just blogging occasionally and hoping that Google would pick you up for a particular keyword that your ideal customer would search for, or adding in like a daily post to Facebook. And actually, it turns out that your ideal customer is someone who pins pictures on Pinterest. Then that's going to totally change the efforts that you're putting in to your kind of day-to-day marketing activities, right? And knowing the social network, knowing the channel, knowing the search terms to use, knowing the ads to create, like, these are the kind of four key areas that you kind of need to get mildly obsessed with when you're thinking about your marketing strategy. Like, knowing the social channel that they hang out on is just super useful, because you can view comments and conversations and observe behavior with competitors. I mean, it's just so great for so many reasons. You then need to understand if your ideal customer uses email and how they respond to email, because everyone uses email. Like, we need email to sign up to social accounts. People expect emails when they buy products or services. Your email is still a really big part of how we communicate online. So how does your ideal customer use email? How do they respond to email? And then another big pillar is search, is knowing what keywords or key phrases your ideal customer puts into Google or other search engines to find businesses like yours. Are you helping them solve a problem, or are you, you know, being recommended for the product or service that you offer? And then the kind of fourth pillar, like I said, is understanding the type of ads your ideal customer will click on online. You know, when they're in a position to be sold to, how do they like to be sold to? How do they like to be influenced? Now, if you can map out, based on, you know, the info that you know about where your ideal customer lives online, against the different places that they live online that you can interact with and have an effect with, then you can kind of start to, you know, create the first steps of that strategy, right? And one of the key parts of that is understanding, like, the time that you have as a small business owner and the budget that you have to invest in that. Because, you know, in an ideal world, we'd all run £1 million ad campaigns to our websites, right, to drive traffic. Great, done then. We, you know, the Coca-Cola effect, they run massive ads on TV, get everyone to see their product all at once, and then people can make a decision whether they buy. No, not everyone's in that position. Very few are in that position, I would say. So, you know, if you have kind of done some sleuthing, talked to your ideal customer, found out, you know, they like to hang out on Facebook, they like to sign up to emails and get daily emails from their kind of favorite brands, that they like to search for recommendations, certain keywords, and they respond to certain ads from certain brands, you can decide which channel you pick that will have the most impact for your business without costing you too much money, right? Ads will have an effect, you know, really quickly. You'll either find out if people like your product or service or not. Search takes a long time because you've got to build up an authority with Google. You kind of got to build up your profile and get known for a particular search word or a particular key phrase. Maybe you want to just send emails to your ideal customer. Great, because they're more likely to get opened and more likely to get clicked on, like the links within the email get clicked on than posting on social, from what you've observed and what you can see. But you know, the issue there is you've got to get people onto your mailing list first. Like going through that kind of next stage of kind of jigsaw piece fiddling is what it's all about. And you're not always going to pick the right thing first and foremost. You're not always going to pick the right channel. You're not always going to choose the right message. You're not always going to get it right. And I would actually say it's very unlikely you'll get it right first time. Like, let's say you decide, okay, I'm going to build up my email list and sell to my ideal customer that way. Great, good for you. And you're going to use your website to give an offer to your ideal customer to encourage them to hand their email over. And then you're going to email them weekly. Great, that's brilliant. The only way to really know if that's going to work for you is just to do it. And my background in project management has really helped me embrace the kind of concept of testing in marketing. I mean, I used to be a project manager building websites, right? And no website was perfect as soon as it was delivered for that kind of first review. We'd have to go through rounds of review and bug fixing and then take the website out to market to test with the ideal customer, ideal user, see what they thought of the website, come back, do more iterations. And this approach to kind of doing this kind of agile approach with marketing is kind of a newer concept for many. If you test something and don't hold on to the result, right? So you don't throw all your eggs into one basket and think, oh, I'm going to test this email approach and it's all hanging on it. If this doesn't work, nothing will. Then you're going to fail. You need to, in terms of being able to grow and learn, right, with your marketing. Instead, what you need to do is be open to testing a particular tactic, right, in terms of driving traffic to your website from your ideal customer, and then taking the data that you get from that and improving on what you've done. I believe that adopting this approach for small business digital marketing is key to success, right? Because then you're able to give yourself enough time to see what doesn't work and time to reflect on why that might be, right? So part of your strategy when you're putting it together is to, like we said at the beginning, is kind of find out who your ideal customer is, find out where they live online, do some research to pick a channel to reach them. Pick one channel. You don't need lots. We're testing one channel at a time. And test that channel thoroughly before deciding it doesn't work for you and before you move on to another approach. Because if you shut the whole thing down when you've got no leads, after a day of trying, well, that's not a strategy, is it? And you'll flit around from tactic to tactic. I'm going to try Facebook today. I'm going to do social posts today. We're going to create a podcast tomorrow. We're going to do an infographic next week. Without really testing each and every time, and really testing to the point where you know it's failed, your ideal customer doesn't live in the place where you thought they did online, they're not going to respond to the content that you've created. It can take weeks and months, right, for a new strategy to gain traction and provide results. And if you can be brave and plan that into your digital marketing strategy, then you move beyond just kind of doing that short-term approach and you kind of start to create something that's long lasting, that'll have meaning. You'll have results, data that can feed into the decisions that you make when you pick the next tactic, the next channel, the next type of content. So how do you start, right? How do you start from here? So, open up a blank doc, a Google Doc or a Word doc or whatever, and go and ask yourself some tough questions about where your customers live online, right? And you can use a tool like SurveyMonkey or Typeform to create forms with questions that can ask either people who you'd like to sell to or who've bought from you. You can ask some questions about where they live online. And by the way, a good old-fashioned conversation will also do. Just ringing people up, getting on Zoom, sending them a DM. YouTube and just general Googling about different channels, about email marketing, about search, about ads, about the different social channels that are out there. If you have no idea what a TikTok is, the news will tell you at the moment. If you haven't been on LinkedIn and dusted off your old profile for about 10 years, log in and go and give it a look. Be interested in the places online where your ideal customer lives. And then become obsessed with those places. If they're really interested in looking at beauty pages on Facebook, so should you. You should be really interested. And you can use tools like the Facebook Audience Insights tool to find out the type of pages and influencers and content that people who look and behave like your ideal customer like, right? Look at the conversations that they're having. I mean, if you're over on Twitter, go and literally put into the search bar the type of things that your ideal customer said to you when you surveyed them or asked them about why they find businesses like yours with the products or services that you offer. Go and see how other people are talking about products and services in your sector. Go and see how they're talking about your competition. Honestly, this time spent browsing the internet in a useful way, useful procrastination, is perhaps one of the things that stops so many small business owners actually doing this, because you think it's not planning. But immersing yourself and understanding the channels where your ideal customer lives online is helping you understand how to reach them, because you'll naturally just start looking at the type of posts, graphics, photographs that people like, that they share. You'll start to see who the competition is. You'll start to see who certain influencers are. You'll just start absorbing more through your observations. And if you aren't signed up to any email lists, and you know your ideal customer loves to sign up to email lists, go and sign up to some. Go and find some. If you're not tapping into search engines, the type of keywords that your ideal customers are using, that they've said they're using to find businesses like yours, start observing them and keeping an eye on the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of search results. And this research can then inform you what one thing you can start to implement to reach your ideal customer, right? And then do that really well, right? And it might surprise you. It might work really well. And you might get into the hang of emailing your ideal customer on a weekly basis, because it turns out actually they love email and they loved it when you gave them a free money off voucher or a free thing to convince them to sign up to your email list. And you knew that was the right thing to give them, to sign up to your email list, because you observed it from others. You looked at what the competition were doing. You looked at what other people in your sector were doing, and you emulated that. That's totally allowed. That's totally fine. Maybe it fails, right? And people aren't responding. And actually, you've tried different approaches, different subject lines, and it just turns out that the approach that you're doing with your emailing isn't working. Well, you can go back to the drawing board, ask your ideal customers what they would like from you, but keep trying if it's somewhere where they live online, where if it's somewhere that they respond to online. And if it goes really well, like I said, you can then start to add in other channels, right? Start to use social, start writing those blogs on an ongoing basis. But just taking it one step at a time means that you can build up your strategy over time. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's totally okay to start with one step. I'm going to do this week. And then next month, I'm going to test this. And then the month after, I'm going to test this without too much emotional attachment to the results in the beginning, and then being led by the data that you get in and the feedback that you get in from your ideal customers as you progress. Don't forget to box in time for reviewing your data, the data that you get from your tests, the data that you get from your ongoing marketing. I mean, it's this that's going to transform how you work in the long run. And this is what I talk about in my membership all the time. We're talking about how to be led by the data, not by preconceptions that we have about how we think our ideal customers will respond to our marketing. So I totally recommend going to look up Facebook's free training and business resources. Google have got their own academy. Go and check that out. MailChimp for kind of email lists. They've got an endless supply of resources. And all it takes is you to create that time, maybe like it's one day a week, at least, to work on your own business. You're totally allowed to do that. And then you can scale up your efforts as you kind of find something by testing and looking at the data that works for you. And it can only grow from there. So I hope you found that useful. If you want to get a leg up with understanding more about any of the tactics that I've suggested here today, or kind of how to, you know, build up a strategy ongoing, then you can go and find some resources over on my blog at heyvickyjakes.com, and we'll be opening up the membership again a little bit later on this year too. But until then, happy strategizing, and I'll see you in the next episode.